You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
God is saying to us, I want you to listen. And 2019, the beginning of this year, God actually spoke to me. He said, I want to open the ears of my people. I want them to understand that I long to speak to them. And it's important that 2019 is the year where God opens our ears afresh to hear His voice. You know, one of the most important areas of the Christian life is learning to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit. And first, you must understand that it is God's desire for you to hear His voice. It's God's desire for you to learn to recognize His voice. I want you to have a Selah moment for a minute. And just in your heart, just think, it's God's desire for me to hear His voice. You know, one privilege we enjoy as God's children is divine guidance. God wants to guide us and direct us in the ways that He would have us go. And our Heavenly Father expects us to talk to Him, but also to listen to Him, to know what He wants to say to us, especially when we pray and especially when we open the Word of God and especially when we worship Him. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to guide us into all truth, to show us things to come, to remind us of things, to speak words that will protect us, that will guide us and direct us. How many of us want to be guided by the Holy Spirit? I'm sure we all do. In Proverbs 32, verse 8 to 9, it says this. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. Wow. I will advise you and watch over you. Do not be like the senseless horse or the mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. Have a look at that word there. I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. So there's a perfect pathway and there's an imperfect pathway. You know, Isaiah said this. He said, God promises to show us the way to those that are blind, to those who do not know their way through life. He said, I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them. You know, Jeremiah says that God wants to reveal things to us. In Jeremiah 33:3, it says, ask of me. You know, the Bible also says, you have not because you ask not. Now, He is saying to us, ask of me, and I will tell you remarkable secrets to you who do not know about things to come. You know, there are things that God wants to reveal to us, open our understanding to. And like David, we must pray, show us the right path. Oh Lord, point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me. For you are the God who saves me. All day long, I put my hope in you. The word hope means earnest expectation in Him. You know, as you study the Bible and as you read the Word of God, you don't have to read very long before come to the understanding that God spoke to Old Testament characters in the Bible. You know, He spoke to Abraham. He said, I want you to go to Mount Moriah and offer your son as a sacrifice. He heard God's voice and he obeyed God's voice. But then he heard the voice of God the second time. You know, if it was like numbers of Christians, they might say, well, I've already heard from you, God. I'm not going to listen to the second voice that I've just heard. But because Abraham learned to recognize God's voice, he was obedient. If he wasn't obedient, he would have killed his son. But because of obedience, learning to recognize, he was able to do what God has spoken him to do. He spoke to Isaiah. In Isaiah 6, he says, and I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I go and whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send him. No, send me. And he said, go and tell this people. You see, the secret to Isaiah's life was that he heard from God, but he learned to recognize the voice from God. Listen, anything that you hear God tell you to do, you can do it with confidence. You can do it in absolute confidence. Now, for instance, last Thursday I was at in Hopper's Crossing. I was with a friend of mine and we were having coffee. And this lady, this young girl came up and she served us and so on. She heard I didn't like the first cup of coffee. It wasn't that good. And I said, look, I'm not complaining. She said, look, I'll make you another one. I said, before you do, is there something on your heart? This is the Holy Spirit dropped it in my heart. Is there something on your heart that you're longing for that you want to see happen? She said, yes, as a matter of fact. She said, I'm 21 years of age, and when I turn 25, I want to have my own house. I said, well, I'd like to pray for you on that one. And I said, have you ever, drawn a map of it or had some sort of a plan of what sort of a house you want? She said, no, I haven't. I said, maybe you need to do that, and then you can focus on what you're believing for. But I said to her, listen, God has a greater purpose in life, in mind for your life. Would you like to hear about it? And so I began to share what God spoke to my heart. And I said, there's things that happen in your life. And I began to explain to her some of the things that were happening in her life. And she said, how did you know all this about me? I said, I didn't. But there's a God in heaven who loves you that did. And he's saying this to you because he has a purpose for your life. And I said, would you like to receive Jesus in your life? And I thought, well, when you come back later, I can pray for you. She said, I'd like that. And the Holy Spirit dropped the thought in my mind. He said, remember D.L. Moody, the story of D.L. Moody? He was preaching in Chicago. And he said to the congregation, he said, come back the next night and then I'll lead you in a sinner's prayer. And that night, Chicago was on fire and many of those people were killed in the fire. And God showed me, don't leave it to the next day. Don't leave it for a moment later. And I said, would you like to receive Jesus Christ right now? And she said, yes. And so I led her to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. She gave her heart and angels were rejoicing. You see, anything that you hear God tell you, you can do it with confidence. You can do it with a fresh anointing because the word of God is truth. You can do it, church. You know, God spoke to people in the New Testament time. He spoke to Peter. He said, go to the house of Cornelius. Then he also spoke to Ananias, this ordinary disciple of Jesus, just like you and I. He said, go to the house in a street called Straight and you'll find someone there praying. His name is Saul. And Ananias went there. Ananias released Saul, who became Paul, to be one of the greatest missionaries on earth. This ordinary Christian, you never know what God may require you to do. And if you do it in obedience, you never know, you could be launching someone into their giftings in God. You know, God spoke to Paul. In Acts 22, it says, now it happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I was in a trance and saw him saying to me, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. God was warning Paul what to do. You know, there's one evening, for instance, my wife had gone to a life group. This is numbers of years ago now. And God said to her, get out of the car now. She sort of hesitated. Holy Spirit said to her, get out of the car now. So he got out quickly. We didn't realize there was something seriously wrong with that driver. God warning. So he's learning to recognize. Hey, listen, all of us have that same privilege. If you've given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit actually dwells inside of you. And he wants to reveal to you things that's on the heart of the Father, things to guide you into all truth, to warn you things to come, to protect you because of his love for us. You know, people have often said to me in the past, well, that's okay for people in the Bible. But that's not what the Word of God says. Peter says in Acts 10, verses 34 to 35, Peter fairly exploded with his good news. It's God's own truth. Nothing could be plainer. God plays no favorites. He plays no favorites, church. You could be a pastor. You could be just an ordinary person going about your business. He has no favorites. It makes no difference who you are or where you're from. If you want God, there's the key. If you want God and are ready to do as, second key, as he says, the door is opened. Another verse in the Bible in Galatians 2:6, it's not on the screen. It says, God shows no favoritism to any man. You know, there are many voices clamoring to get our attention. There's the voice of the world through TV, through magazines. And often the voice of the world says, go ahead and do it. If it doesn't hurt anyone. The voice of the world is trying to conform our way of thinking to their way of thinking, and often it's contrary to the Word of God. But then there's the voice from ourselves. And when it's the voice from ourselves, it's often the voice of, I'm not good enough. I can't do it. I don't have the education. I don't have this and I don't have that. And it's often the voice that puts ourselves down. How many of us have actually said in the past, oh, that was a stupid thing, you stupid idiot. I don't believe we need to say that about ourselves because we're made in his image, in his likeness. But there's also the voice of Satan. And if it's the voice of Satan, it's, has God said, did he really mean what he said? Can you live with your partner without marriage? It's often the voice of Satan is trying to get you to question the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, the mercy and the grace of God for your life. You see, believing that what we're hearing is from the Holy Spirit and going ahead and doing it sometimes seems to be the hardest thing in a Christian's life. But we must know God's voice. How can he teach us? How can he guide us? How can he lead us? How can he warn us of things to come? And God, to that 2019, says to us, I want to quicken your ability to hear and recognize my voice. And learning to hear and understand and obey is the most vital thing in a Christian's life. But someone may say, oh, listen, why don't God just speak so plainly? Just speak simply, like, hey, Pastor Nate, this is God from the heights of glory, with an Australian accent. Or if you watch the Ten Commandments, with an American accent. But is that necessary? Jesus said in John 10, my sheep recognize, my hear my voice. The word hear means to recognize. My sheep hear or recognize my voice. And I know them. And they follow me. In John 10 verses 4 and 5, concerning his sheep, he says, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him. For they know his voice. They know because of relationship. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know, or the word know in Greek means to recognize the voice of strangers. You see, if learning to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit is so essential for us, why do we find it so hard? Why at times we are so insensitive to hearing his voice? One of the major reasons, and I'm not going into this at this moment, is busyness. Busyness can block your ability to hear God's voice. Busyness. And the parable of the sower actually gives us a clue as the reasons why we find at times so hard to hear his voice. In Mark chapter 4, verses 18 to 19, is this, and the ones, or the seed sown among the thorns, are others who hear the word, then the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age, and the pleasures and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches, and the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in. There's a lot of creeps out there trying to creep in. And choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. The cares. What are the cares of the world? Anxieties, distractions, cravings. They creep in. And when we get our eyes on the cares of the world, it can start to dull our ability to hear and recognize his voice. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11 to 12, it says, "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know." We have received the Holy Spirit so that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. There are things that God wants to freely give us, church. You know, the key factor, and I'm jumping the gun here, is why we fail at times to recognize his voice is because we don't wait on him. They that wait upon the Lord. You know, I noticed as I looked amongst the people here that we all have two ears and one mouth. Twice as much listening as speaking. And waiting on God is waiting in his presence. You may not hear, feel anything, but the fact that you position yourself, God sees that you are keen and desirous to learn to recognize his voice. And in the place of operation where God can use you, you will start to learn to hear his voice. But you have prepared yourself by just waiting there. Do it 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Just put some worship tape on and just listen. Don't say anything. Listen. Saying, "God, I'm here waiting on you. Waiting on you. Just ready to." And what happens is you are tuning your spiritual ear to the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's why God wants us to learn to recognize his voice. He's got so much that he wants to impart into us. In 1 Corinthians 2, verses 11 to 12. "For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God, that we might receive the things that receive, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things," as I said. That's why he wants us to know. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says this, "But the natural man," the non-spiritual, "does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually appraised or discerned or understood." And I want to say something here this morning. If you're born again, you're not a natural man or a natural woman. Your spirit has been alive to God. You are a spiritual being that's become alive to God. Remember, your spirit has been joined to the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 2, verse 4 to 6, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ." Church, have a look at this verse again. I want you to take it to heart. You're alive. He's made you alive together with Christ. He has raised you up together with Christ. He has made you to sit together with Christ in heavenly places. Quickly come up here, Trent. Thanks. He has made us to sit together with Christ. He didn't say, "Tim, where would you like to sit? Pick anywhere." He says he has made you to sit with Christ. We are in Christ. I want you to take this to heart, church. You are in Christ and Christ is in you. You're seated at the right hand of the Father. You have the same opportunity that Moses had to speak to God face to face. I can speak to my Father, my Heavenly Father, face to face. God, I got there's things on my heart that I want to share with you. But not only tell him about the problems and the situation. Hey, Father, I just want to thank you for your goodness to me, your mercy, your love, and your kindness to me. You're such a wonderful Father. Thank you. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Just begin to fellowship with him. You have the same opportunity. When I was reading about Moses in Exodus 33, I used to say, God, how do you get to that place where you're at one-to-one? And this year, only this year, God showed me. He has made us to sit with Christ. We're seated with Christ. The place where you can rest in him, the finished work. No more struggling, church. No more struggling, Christian. And you talked to your Father. Say, Father, I just want to thank you. You're such a loving Father to me. I thank you for what you've done in my life. I thank you. Thanks, Trent. Or is it Troy? I can't remember. Church, you have the same unbelievable privilege and in a greater way than even Moses had, because you're in Christ and Christ is in you. It'll change your prayer life, believe me. You know, one of the greatest illustrations in the Bible about learning to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit and understanding and being sensitive to his voice is the life of Samuel. That's one character that I want to meet when I get to heaven. In 1 Samuel 3, verse 1 to 7, in verse 1 it says, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. Why? Because God always uses a human instrument. You know, God wants to raise up people in this church, human instruments, that he can reveal things to you, to share with others, to inspire and encourage and build up others. Verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know, underline that, the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord revealed to him. The word in the Hebrew means voice. The voice of the Lord had not yet been revealed to Samuel. But have a look at that first part. Samuel did not yet know. The same word know is mentioned in Genesis 18, verse 19, where God said concerning Abram, I know him. I know Abraham. And how did he know? Because of the covenant relationship that he had. Samuel did not yet had that same relationship that Abraham had, that covenant relationship with God. You see, when you and I have given our lives to Jesus, we enter into a covenant relationship with God. And God says to you, listen, I know you. Yeah. Why? Because of the covenant relationship. The same covenant relationship that Abraham had with God is in a greater way that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, I know you. I know the struggles you go through. I know the triumphs that you've experienced in your life. I know the victories. I know the challenges that you've had. And I know you. But I'm there for you. And Samuel, his name means heard of God. Heard of God. And by extension, it means to hear intelligently. How do you hear intelligently? By being obedient. If you and I are going to listen and hear and hear intelligently the voice of the Lord, that means that I'm now ready to walk in obedience to what I hear. And God wants us to do that. You see, we cannot make God speak to us, but we can train our ears to be sensitive and focused on listening. And God wants to speak to us. You know, Catherine Kuhlman, who's now in the presence of God, she said this. I've never forgotten it. She said, if you spend 60 minutes, an hour, in the presence of the Lord, if it takes you 50 minutes to shut all the other voices out of your mind, that last 10 minutes can be the most life-changing experience that you could ever have. You know how it is when you want to spend time with God? You want to sit there and spend time with God, and suddenly you get thoughts come to your mind. Don't forget to mow the lawn. Don't forget to do this. Don't forget to do that. Don't forget to pick up the kids. Don't forget to whatever. And your mind races. You know, I've learned how to handle those sort of things. I just have a pen and paper, and I just write
all those things down quietly and calmly. If I'm agitated, I will never ever hear from God. So just write things down. Just write them down. And the last 10 minutes could be absolutely an explosive experience that you can have with God in your life. Samuel heard of God. And by extension, means to obey God. You know, there's nothing wrong with his transmitter. There is something at times wrong with the receiver. Now, for you older, the older generation here, when I was 16, I was given a crystal set. Who remembers the crystal sets? Some of you old. And you put the little needle on the crystal, and you hear sound. You start to pick up a channel, a station. And the first song I heard was, "Oh, bless my soul, what's wrong with me? I'm itching like a man on a..." Who's that? Who was that? That's the man. So I thought, I'll be Australia's answer to Elvis. It never worked. But then came the radio, and so you're trying to tune in that dial to get it right on that station. But now it's everything's done for you. We had to work hard in those days to get in the channel. I remember, you know, rather than say God spoke to me, I prefer to say God communicated with me, because there's many and varied ways in which he communicates. Flow of spontaneous thought. It can come through impression. It can come through seeing, sensing, through dreams, through vision, through words, through the prayer. I remember years ago, when I was 21 years of age, I went to a Baptist church. And I looked to my left, and I saw this most gorgeous creature on the face of the earth. And I thought, God, did you create this? And I had a flow of spontaneous thought. And the spontaneous thought came from the Song of Solomon. "Behold, you are fair, my love. You have dove's eyes. Your hair is like a flock of goats. Your teeth is like a flock of sheep, shorn sheep. Your neck is like the Tower of David." And I thought, I went like this. And the girl that was with me said, "What did you do that for?" She didn't realize the flow of spontaneous thoughts that were going through my mind. And I ended up marrying that wonderful, I was going to say creature. Mother of three wonderful kids. You know, there's three ways of developing a listening ear. Revelation. God revealed himself to Samuel. You know, Samuel mistook the voice of the Lord for the voice of Eli. It's possible to mistake the voice of the Lord for another voice. Now listen to this. Don't look for voices, but learn to discern them when they come. Don't try and listen to voices, but learn to discern them when they come. The second way is association. The more time you spend in the presence of the Lord, the more you get to develop an ability to hear his voice. Now, for instance, say Bill here. If Bill rang me up tomorrow or the next couple of days' time, I may not recognize his voice straight away. But I guarantee the more we spend time, I'm still waiting for that coffee, Bill, but the more I spend time with him, in fellowshipping with him, the more my ears become attuned to his voice. The more you spend time in the presence of God, the more your ears become attuned to the voice of the Holy Spirit. The third way is cultivation. In Hebrews 5 verse 14 it says, "But solid food is for those who have full age, that is, those who by reason of use or practice have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." It's practice time. The more you practice, the more you spend time, the more you practice, your spiritual ears become attuned even more to a greater level to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Remember, faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing. It's not just hearing and reading the Word of God. It's hearing by being still and listening. And that's the art that unfortunately has escaped many of God's people in churches today. The art of listening. There's no college in our nation that teaches the art of listening. No college to teach you how to listen to the voice of the God. You know, it's amazing how much confidence you have when you hear from God. When I was flying into Singapore a couple of years ago, just flying into Singapore, and it takes about 20 minutes, I think, before the actual plane lands. And God spoke to me about the flight attendant. And he said to me, tell her that everything is okay with your daughter, for her not to worry, not to be fearful, that I've got her back, I'm protecting her. And when she took her seat opposite me, I said, do you mind if I say something? She said, yeah. I said, look, God just spoke to me about you. And he said, not to worry about your daughter, that he has everything under control. He will protect her for you not to worry. She said, that's amazing. My daughter's 15 years of age. I don't have a partner. And so every time I go on my flight with my job, I get so concerned about her. You see, God's interested and concerned by those that are outside the church as well, because of his love for them. And she said, are you a prophet? And I said, I'm working on it. It's a lowly little pastor. Practice, practice, practice. What was Samuel's key to developing a listening ear? There are five verses that give you the clue. I want us to put on the screen. Five verses. In 1 Samuel 2, and I want you to pick out the two keys, two words, two keys that made Samuel helped Samuel to develop a listening ear. Then Elkanah went to his house at Ramah, but the child ministered the Lord before Eli, the priest. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. And the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord. 1 Samuel 3, it says, now the boy ministered to the Lord before Eli. And then verse 19, so Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. What are the two words for those that weren't in the leadership? Big one, over here, this side, in the middle. What was one of the words? I heard it, he grew, that's right. What's the second one? He ministered. You know the word minister in Hebrew means worship and service? You know, some people like to worship, but you never see them serve. Some people like to serve, but you never see them worship. They go hand in hand. If I'm ministering to the Lord, in whatever I find my hands to do, I'm worshiping Him and serving Him. You know when Satan tempted Jesus, or tried to tempt Jesus in Luke chapter 4, He said, I'll give you this kingdom if you'll worship me. This is what Jesus said to Satan. He answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Worship before service. But they go together. You see, Satan knows that whatever you worship, you will also serve. You will eventually serve. It could be my car. It could be my job. It could be my house. It could be things that I'm worshiping. He ministered and he grew. John the Baptist grew in favor with God and man. Jesus grew in stature and favor with God and man. Can I encourage you this year, from now on till the end of this year, God, show me the areas in my life that I need to grow in. Maybe in the Word, maybe in your prayer life, maybe in your relationship. In fact, there's four things that are crucial. Acts 2:42. The Word of God, fellowship. We have life groups or connect groups every fortnight. This week it starts again, Wednesday. Fellowship. Communion. We had communion today. And prayer. If you grow in those four things, that's what the book of Acts disciples did. The new Christians in the book of Acts, The disciples encourage them to grow in those four areas. And if you do that and I do that, we'll continue to grow in our Christian walk, in our Christian life. Now, it's Mother's Day today. And Samuel's mother brought Samuel a new coat every year. Mums, have you brought your child a new coat this year? Samuel's mother brought a new coat to Samuel every year. Why? Because he grew. God spoke to me clearly that he wants to put a new coat on you. New coat of growth. Because he wants us to grow. And it's a coat of many colors. You'll grow in the gifts of the Spirit. You'll grow in your fellowship with others. You'll grow in your ability to live the Christian life that God wants you to live. You'll grow in stature and favor with God and man. God wants us to grow. And I'll leave you with three verses. Isaiah 50 verse 4. Remember, 2019 is the year of growth, of year of developing an ability to hear and recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 50 verse 4 says, "The Lord has spoken to me, has given me the tongue of a disciple and of one who is taught that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary." There are weary peoples in your workplace. There are weary people that you know personally. He wants you to give you a word in season to be able to impart into them. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as a disciple, as one who is taught. And then Proverbs, I love this one in Proverbs. Verse 8, verse 33 to 35. "If you wait at wisdom's doorway, longing to hear a word for every day, joy will break forth within you as you listen for what I'll say. For the fountain of life pours into you every time you find me. And this is the secret of growing in the delight and the favor of the Lord." You want to grow? Apply this verse to your life. The last one, which is our verse for the year, in Isaiah 30 verse 21. "Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Wherever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left, this is the way. Walk in it. Walk in it. Walk in the way that he tells you to go. Not in the way the world tells you to go, your own mind tells you to go, but walk in the way that he tells you to go." Are you ready for your ears to be open to God? I'm sure you are. I just want you to close your eyes for a moment. I want you to pray the prayer that Samuel prayed. He said, "Lord, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." I want you to just briefly for a moment say, "Holy Spirit, speak to my heart. Speak to me right now." Because we're in this atmosphere, and we've been in this atmosphere now for over an hour, it's quite often easy when God that we can hear and pick up what the Holy Spirit is wanting to say to us. I want you to say, "Holy Spirit, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Take note of what he just said to you. Take note. Thank you, Lord, for speaking. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Every head is bowed, every eye closed. There may be some here. You don't know the Lord Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and Savior. You haven't given your life to him. But God was speaking to you. God had been speaking to you. Even through the worship, the communion, every aspect of the service, God's been speaking to you. Sometimes your heart will just pound a little faster. That's an indication that God's knocking on your heart's door. And if that's you, I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. But if you say, "Pastor Phil, please pray for me. I want to give my life to Jesus." And if that's you, just quickly put your hand and put it up, put it down. Quickly put it up, put it down. Thank you. Anyone else? If you've never done it before, Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Our brother's done it before.
I'm just going to leave you with one thing. God spoke to me when I was in Brisbane. He can speak to you in Brisbane, you know. But I remember reading the story of a man by the name of Gordon Lindsay. Gordon Lindsay was walking down along this paddock, and in the distance he can see a man pumping water. And it was just furious, pumping water, pumping water. And as he drew near, and he think, this guy never lets up. What? He just keeps pumping water. What's going on? But when he got close enough to see what was happening, it wasn't the man pumping the water, it was the water pumping the man. It was a cardboard cutout of a man. And the water was pumping the man. And God said to me, some of us have tried to live our Christian walk and our Christian life in efforts that God had never called you to do. And we've been stressing out, we've been struggling because we've been trying to do things in our own effort, in our own strength. And God says, that's not the way I want it for you, because if you allow me, you cannot live the Christian life in your own strength. We need the Holy Spirit. And if you allow the Holy Spirit to come upon you afresh this morning, you'll find the things that you've been struggling with, stressing over, being concerned over, the anxiousness that you've been experiencing in your life. God says to you this morning, my Spirit will begin to flood afresh in your heart. As you position yourself before Him, my Spirit will flood Himself afresh in your heart. And you'll find the things that you found so difficult, so hard, and it's constantly on your mind, constantly on your thoughts. God says, I'll cause my Spirit to flood those things with my presence, with my power, and with my ability. Father, I just pray for every person here. Let's all stand as we wait in the presence of God. Father, if that word is for any here, one person, but I believe it's for many people here. They've been trying to pump the pump with their own strength, and wondering why they're so fatigued, so worn out. And Father, we all experience that from time to time. It's not just one or two. We've all gone through moments. We've all gone through seasons where we try to do it in our own strength. We try to face situations in our own strength, and we wonder why we get so fatigued and so worn out. But this morning, Holy Spirit, you're inviting people to allow you to flow through them afresh, to let your Spirit begin to flood their hearts and their minds. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, let them receive.